While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good afternoon, Namibia, and a warm welcome to everyone tuning in from near and far. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM, the home of insightful conversations and real national dialogue. I'm your host, Dafa Happy Juju, and this is On The Reading News Analysis, where headlines meet context. Now, it is Wednesday, the 26th of November, 2025, and the time is 7 minutes past the hour, 1300 hours. Now, as the week continues to unfold, Namibia finds itself navigating a mix of progress, pressure, and possibility. Across our towns, regions, and institutions, important decisions are being made, decisions that will shape our communities, our economy, and our everyday lifestyle. Now, of course, today is day one of the national, pardon me, of the regional and local authority elections. Now, in this program, we don't just report the news. We unpack the dynamics behind the headlines, explore the implications for ordinary Namibians, and ask the critical questions that matter to you, from Windhoek to Katima Muliro, from Rudut to Rundu. Now, from 1300 hours to 1430, Monday through Friday, On The Radar connects you to issues driving the national conversation with expert insights, community voices, and journalism that seeks not just to inform, but to empower. Now, today's edition will bring key developments into sharper focus, giving you the background, the facts, and the perspective needed to understand the bigger picture. You can tune in via all Eagle FM frequencies, stream us live on the Eagle FM app, and stay connected through our WhatsApp channel for updates, polls, and exclusive content. So settle in, whether you are on the road, at work, or listening from home, or perhaps enjoying your public holiday, well, stay with us. This is where Namibia pauses, reflects, and engages with its future, because right here on the Reader, the truth is never out of reach. Now let's get into today's top stories. The Namibia Meteorological Service, in collaboration with the Directorate of Disaster Risk Management, has intensified a public awareness on the country's seasonal forecast, highlighting the importance of early warning systems in reducing the impact of climate-related disasters. And they were speaking at the Government Information Sharing Center yesterday. Now, meteorological technician Beata Ipinge explained that the seasonal forecast provides critical information about expected rainfall patterns, temperature trends, and possible extreme weather events such as drought, floods, and heat waves. The forecasts enable communities, farmers, local authorities, and businesses to make informed decisions in advance, therefore safeguarding livelihoods and resources. Also speaking at the GIC Center was the director of the Directorate of Disaster Risk Management, Helen Likandos, emphasized that Namibia remains vulnerable to weather-related disasters due to its arid and semi-arid climate. Now let's take a listen to that conversation.
For the first part of the season, October, November, December, we expect above normal rainfall, so especially in the northeastern part, where we have Zambezi, Kavango East, Kavango West, part of Oshana and the part of Ohangwena, and also the eastern part of Ochozonjupa and Omaheke region. In contrary, in the southern region, there's a higher likelihood of below normal rainfall, and over the central and northwestern part, they we expect normal rainfall.
Okay.
Yeah, the blue part is denote above normal rainfall, while the green part denote normal rainfall, and then the red part is the red color is denoting the below normal rainfall.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Ipinge, for highlighting that.
What this basically means, in fact, the meteorological services have just given us what the weather will be,
mm-hmm.
how it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
From a disaster risk management perspective, we now look at it and say, what will it do? How will it impact different sectors and communities at large?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the forecast, we have had that the northern part of the country towards the central
mm-hmm.
will expect normal to above normal rainfall,
mm-hmm.
while as the southern part of the country will remain below normal.
Right.
What that means,
mm-hmm.
the normal to above normal rainfall is associated with heavy rainfalls.
Right.
Now, what does that brings, or how does it impact on different sectors?
Mm-hmm.
Normal rainfall, heavy rainfall is usually associated with risks such as heavy rain, flooding.
Floods. Yes.
Damaging of roads.
Mm-hmm. Infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
It affects sectors such as the energy sector.
Mm-hmm.
We always experience in some areas, shutdowns
right.
of electricity.
Yeah.
That affects bulk water supply,
mm-hmm.
extending it to telecommunication
right.
Lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects the agricultural sectors,
mm-hmm.
the health sector where clinics are not reachable and they are cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Communities cannot get to clinics.
Mm-hmm.
The education sector where children will now not have access
to schools
and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we talk to all sectors
mm-hmm.
and say every sector needs to prepare based on this forecast.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we need to do to prepare to ensure that there's business continuity within our sector?
Right.
There are coordination structures that are in place.
Mm-hmm.
Even starting from a SADC level,
mm-hmm.
where we get these forecasts through SACOF and the SADC disaster risk, what they call SADC shock,
mm-hmm.
Then they are localized by the National Meteorological Services. After that, we do communicate these to the National Disaster Risk Management Committee,
mm-hmm.
which is multi-stakeholder represented,
mm-hmm.
and inform them that this is what is likely to happen, and as different sectors, we need to prepare for this, for floods in some areas, and for possible continued drought in some areas.
Okay.
From there, the information trickles down to the regional disaster risk management committees,
mm-hmm.
as well as the local authority disaster risk management committees.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we have had presentations and discussions with different regions
mm-hmm.
where we have presented these forecasts to them and say, activate your contingency plans
right.
in this light.
Mm-hmm.
The common risks, as I have alluded to, ranges from floods,
mm-hmm.
flash floods,
mm-hmm.
Human diseases,
mm-hmm.
animal diseases,
yes, very important.
Foot and mouth diseases,
yes.
Pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
We already have an outbreak of locusts in the Zambezi region.
Okay.
And of course, lightning that we have
yes.
seen is another emerging risk
mm-hmm.
where these rains are now associated with lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And we urge communities, those that are staying or living in low-lying informal settlements,
mm-hmm.
Those towns with poor drainage systems
yes.
Farmers living in floodplain grazing areas,
mm-hmm.
they need to prioritize and protect their properties and livestock.
Okay.
When we do the focus,
mm-hmm.
We look at this, several informations. The first thing we are looking at the climate drivers
mm-hmm.
That affects our rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking at the ENSO state. Like for this season, the ENSO state is currently at La Nina phase,
okay.
Which is expected to transition to ENSO neutral during early 2026.
Okay.
So, and with that, we are also using statistical model and dynamic models to do our forecast.
Okay.
So, and in terms of the accuracy, I could say it's moderately reliable.
Mm-hmm.
As it is,
it's a prediction.
It's
right?
a prediction,
mm-hmm.
and it is a prediction, and it's a probability that mm-hmm. we just give out
mm-hmm.
that will not really giving you the
100%.
The time and mm-hmm. the intensity of the rainfall.
All right.
But rather a general trend
okay.
of the rainfall.
All right.
But again, this forecast, since it's a long term forecast,
mm-hmm.
The precision of it will be cemented by the daily forecast
mm-hmm.
that will be issued on a daily basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And also,
and also, if we look at our climate, it's very highly variable,
mm-hmm.
and it can really influence by. A small change
right.
in the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
then that can also now alter the precision of our focus.
The fact that these are predictions
mm-hmm.
and there's high likelihood
mm-hmm.
of chances that this may happen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll find that people get discouraged when it does not happen.
Right.
They'll want to hold government accountable and mm-hmm. say, you said
mm-hmm.
we should expect above normal to above normal rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
It's always better to prepare than not to prepare at
yeah.
all, so that you are not caught off guard.
Yeah.
And that is the purpose of an early warning system.
Right. Thank you so much for clarifying that, Ms. Likando.
These informations, we have an early warning cluster.
Mm-hmm.
That consists of the National Meteorological Services. In this regard, we get the forecasts from them.
Mm-hmm.
We get advisories.
Right.
And as the monitor to see the situation and if when it escalates and they realize that the situation will be intense, we jointly with the National Meteorological Services sit together.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the advisory, we interpret it,
mm-hmm.
and then we usually issue joint warnings.
Right.
Both the Office of the Prime Minister and National Meteorological Services.
Okay.
This as well applies to the National, the Hydrological Services of Namibia under the Minister of Agriculture
mm-hmm.
that monitors the river levels and the dam levels.
Right.
We have that collaboration with them that as they monitor, they continue to communicate with us.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have realized that, for example, the river levels have risen above
mm-hmm.
a certain level,
right.
they will then communicate to us and say, start warning communities, those
nearby.
That live in low-lying mm-hmm. areas to evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
It's always better for communities to evacuate themselves than to wait until the water
last
gets into
minute.
Their houses
mm-hmm.
and their animals cannot move and,
right.
and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this information trickles to regional disaster risk management committees
mm-hmm.
Who should then further disseminate this information to communities up to the village mm-hmm. development committees
right.
who should then disseminate this information to everybody in the community.
Okay.
Local authorities have the same responsibility to also disseminate this information to their residents.
Okay.
Hey, Melanie.
All right.
I just wanted to find out, can I run those lights, maybe just to elaborate more?
We are using media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lock it there.
As soon as...
Right.
And people from institutions where we are getting information,
mm-hmm.
and including the OPM,
mm-hmm.
and the other institutions also, the
right.
we are disseminating our focus.
Okay.
Yeah, we aim to maybe...
On the rainfall pattern
mm-hmm.
and, of course, the droughts and floods
mm-hmm.
thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Those we have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
However, what we advise different sectors is that, for example, in the agricultural sector,
mm-hmm.
depending on the forecast, if, for example, it has been predicted that we'll have a short season of rainfall,
mm-hmm.
then we advise that sector ministry to advise farmers accordingly to use
the rainy season,
dry, tolerant crops
yes.
that matures early,
mm-hmm.
Instead of planting the other usual crops that we are familiar with.
Yes.
And then they also train and encourage communities to use water harvesting techniques
right.
in a case of predicted drought so that we use water sparingly.
True, right.
The energy sector also to put measures in place because low water levels affect the supply of electricity, the bulk water supply, and so on. So, based on what is predicted, we then prepare sectors to put measures in place. But key is that most regions have got contingency plans
right.
that gets activated depending on the hazard that is imminent. If it's floods, then they know what to do, what actions to be taken. If it's drought, what actions need to be taken, and so on.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Likando. Now, Ms. Ipinge.
To end on that.
Right.
On the technical part or scientific part, we only say climate change is real. And as we see, the season is becoming shorter and shorter. And the dry spells is coming
sooner than it should have.
Yes.
Right.
And also the intensity of the rainfall.
It's
like you get heavy rainfall. At the end of the day, there's no follow-up. So you have a long dry spell.
Right.
So even at the end of the season, you have above normal rainfall, what came on the ground. But in terms of the crops, nothing, there will be nothing. Because the crop couldn't survive the dry spell.
Right.
So it's climate change is really so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, thank you so much for that information. Now, sticking with you, Ms. Ipinge.
So, because at the end of the day, you have the seasonal forecast, but if you are not following up with the daily forecast, then
anything can change.
Anything can change. It's a daily focus that will tell you what is happening tomorrow or maybe what is happening in the next two or so days.
Right.
Let us start with the local authorities. Local authority councils should begin to inspect and clear drainage systems,
right,
culverts and bridges,
to
ensure that when rain comes,
they can withstand.
The water is able to flow freely.
Right.
In the same vein, let us start to inspect and ensure that there are no people that have settled in risk areas before it's too late. Let us encourage communities, as my colleague have said, to listen to authorities, the hydrological services, as they monitor the dams and the river levels, the meteorological services, so that when we are alerted to evacuate, let us evacuate on time to protect our properties and our livestock.
Right.
At household level, communities, specifically in the north, should put signages on wells, on traditional wells, and the earth dams, so that when they are filled up, we minimize the accidents that usually happens. Let them pre-position sands at high-risk households and institutions. This applies to local authorities as well. People should clear now. This is the time for us to clear drainages around our houses, the gutter systems around our yards. Let us prepare emergency kits. Communities should be able to protect their documents. Put them in safe plastics that even when they are affected, we don't lose our documents as usual. Let's keep our food items also safely stored in containers and raise electrical appliances above the floor level. During rainfall seasons, we encourage communities to stay indoors, especially monitor children from walking around, not to cross rivers, the waters that are flowing. And emerging now and very worrying and concerning is the risk of lightning. During rain seasons, we would encourage communities that when we experience lightning, let us remain indoors, not to walk around, and stay away from electrical appliances, using cell phones, wallets, you know, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. Such things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Well, thank you, Ms. Likando.
And now let's talk on the importance of disaster risk management and being prepared, exercising preparedness for it. In a world where increasingly affected by climate change, urbanization and environmental degradation, disaster risk management and preparedness have become essential pillars of national safety and sustainable development. From droughts and floods to storms, heat waves and disease outbreaks, disasters are no longer rare events. They are reoccurring threats that affect lives, livelihoods and infrastructure. Now, disaster risk management focuses on identifying potential hazards, reducing vulnerability and strengthening the capacity of communities and institutions to respond effectively when emergencies occur. It is not only about responding to disasters after they strike, but about taking proactive steps to minimize damage and save lives before they actually happen. Preparedness also plays a critical role in this process. Now, when people know what to expect and what actions to take, the impact of a disaster can be significantly reduced. Communities that are trained in emergency response, evacuation procedures, and early warning systems are far better equipped to protect themselves and recover more quickly. Now, the importance of disaster risk management extends beyond human safety. Strong preparedness measures, protect the economy, reduce the burden of government resources, and prevent long-term setbacks to development. Schools, hospital, roads, and businesses are less likely to be destroyed or disrupted when proper planning is in place. Now, furthermore, effective disaster risk management builds resilience. It empowers individuals, families, and communities to adapt to changing conditions and to face future challenges with greater confidence. It also enhances coordination between government agencies, non-governmental organizations, and the private sector, therefore creating a united approach to risk reduction. Now, as weather patterns become more unpredictable and extreme, investing in disaster preparedness is no longer optional. It is a necessity. Simple actions such as following weather warnings, having emergency supplies ready, strengthening homes, protecting important documents, and knowing evacuation routes can make the difference between survival and strategy. Ultimately, disaster risk management is about protecting lives, preserving dignity, and ensuring that development is not constantly reserved or reversed by disaster. It is a shared responsibility that requires awareness, commitment, and action from every level of the society. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with more right here on the Reader News Analysis. Now, should you also be interested in the news bulletin, 083-288-4001 is the number in studio. You can come through and air your opinions and contributions right here.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana konongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijemo ili nawa ninge Pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM VI.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Meanwhile, still also talking about disaster risk management. Let's cross over to South Africa, where the weather services have issued a warning for severe thunderstorms across Gauteng. And this has been going on for a couple of days now. Let's take a listen.
Well, as you heard in our weather report from Joel Guy, the South African Weather Service last night issued a warning for severe thunderstorms across Gauteng. Forecasters say residents should prepare for heavy...
Good morning, Rob, and a very warm welcome to the viewers. What a wonderful morning it is, but it is misty around Johannesburg and surrounding areas. So please just make sure before you leave the house that your headlights are working. And do not forget to send us those beautiful morning pictures at Morning Live SABC or on our WhatsApp number 078-459-1897. Let's take a look at your weather details. This is what you can expect for today. Fog patches or misty conditions just over the interior of South Africa. This will touch northwest, going to Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, going to Eastern Cape, and including Gauteng. Otherwise, isolated thundershowers can be expected for today with partly cloudy skies sitting over most parts of South Africa. Along the coastal areas of Western Cape, going to Eastern Cape, we are expecting isolated showers for today. So just be prepared. Do not forget your umbrella or raincoat as we are expecting those wet conditions. And again, your roads are also expected to be wet. We do have conditions that extremely conducive to fire fires. This is the Northern Cape going to Western Cape and Eastern Cape. Do take note of that. If you do see any of those fire fires, do report to your authorities. Now, to detail your weather forecast, we are going to see Johannesburg at a maximum of 25 with isolated thunder showers, 27 going to Pretoria. Heading to the northern parts in Limpopo, Musina at 32, 26 for Tzaneen and Bilabila will be at a maximum of 30 degrees. Now, Skukuza peaking at 30, 28 in Bombela, Emelo will be at a maximum of 23 degrees with Secunda sitting at 24. Heading to KwaZulu-Natal, the city of Durban is at 28 degrees, going to 30 in Umnambiti and the southern parts. Kokstad will peak at a maximum of 28 degrees. We are expecting isolated thunder showers as well. Do not forget your umbrella over the interior of Eastern Cape, but along the coastal areas, we're just seeing partly cloudy skies with Umtata at a maximum of 35 degrees, going to 28 in Maletswai, Willowmore. 33 is forecast for today. 37. This is Beaufort West. 36 in Oswan. 37 in Worcester. 35 in Glen William, not forgetting conditions that are extremely conducive to fire fires over Western Cape. But the city of Cape Town will peak at a maximum of 27 degrees. Heading to the interior of Northern Cape, 38 in Upington, 37 for Carnarvon, and those conditions still remain that are extremely conducive to fire fires with Kurumane 32, 31 going to Sutherland. Here we are in Free State where we're seeing Frankfurt at 25, 28 for Kroonstad, and Bothaville will peak at a maximum of 31 degrees, 32 in Gariepdam, and partly cloudy skies over the southern parts of the province. Mahikeng will be at 28, 32 for Taung and Tosca at a maximum of 34, 30 in Volmar, Randstad, Rustenburg, a maximum of 27 can be expected. Do prepare your Thursday accordingly. Just take a look at this. Very hot conditions over Northern Cape. Isolated going to scattered thunder showers, and in Gauteng as well, we are expecting up to 60% chance of those thunder showers, including the northern parts of Northwest Free State, going to Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. Come Friday, similar conditions can be expected. Do not forget your umbrella as well, as we are expecting those thunderous conditions with 30 going to 60% chance of thunder showers. Otherwise, isolated, dominating most parts of South Africa. Well, that is all from the Weather Desk. Let's go for a break.
The South African Weather Service last night issued a warning for severe thunderstorms across Gauteng. Forecasters say residents should prepare for heavy downpours, possible localized flooding, and large hail. as unstable conditions intensify across the province. For more, we are joined by the City of Johannesburg's Emergency Management Services spokesperson, Robert Muluadzi. Robert, again, thank you always for talking to us. Let's begin with yesterday and last night. I'm not sure if there were any incidents yesterday. I know that there were major lightning storms, but I'm not sure if they caused any damage or anything to worry about from last night before we get into today.
Good morning, Leanne, and morning to the viewers. So far, so good. We have not yet recorded any major incidents which occurred overnight and this morning due to severe thunderstorms which we received overnight and earlier on this morning. So we are still we remain on high alert and monitoring all our seven regions of the city. Targeting especially our low-lying areas, since we are told that we still going to have a lot of rainfall throughout this week. So from our side, we have put in place all our disaster management monitoring teams. All our fire stations are fully operational. So we have got teams who are normally monitoring, especially on our river streams, to see the water levels and ensure that we don't have any incidents in those spaces. So far, we're still on high alert to ensure that we can be able to respond to all the emergencies which might occur.
All right. So, I mean, we've got forecasters that are predicting that there are going to be some severe hailstorms. They say that this current weather pattern over the province will cause a high risk of severe storms. So let's talk about possible localized flooding and issues like that, particularly the hotspot areas that you will be looking at and really on standby for.
Yeah, when we have, during that your December, January holiday season, normally in Johannesburg, we do receive a lot of rainfall, but it looks like this year, we're still going to receive a lot of rainfall. So what you will have, you find out that we've got a number of river streams which are cutting across residential areas, which are mostly our informal settlements. So most of our residents in those areas, they have to cross river streams when they're conducting their daily activities, of which there's a risk there of maybe them being, swept away while they're trying to cross those areas. So we normally plead with them to try and avoid crossing those areas. Instead, use those designated pedestrian bridges which are there for them to cross from one area to the other. And we also have a challenge in terms of, faith-based organizations. Now that the water levels are much more higher. And during this festive season, you normally have, baptisms and cleansing rituals which are conducted in all those three main river streams which I've mentioned, which is Kalfontein, Dakskei, and also Klip Valley River Stream. So most of these baptism alien are conducted like midnight, so of which there's a risk of people being washed away while they're conducting those baptism and cleansing rituals. So hence, we always plead with our residents to avoid, conducting those rituals now that we have got the water current is much more stronger now. The risk of one being washed away is much more high. So those are some of the challenges which we have, which we try and intensify our campaigns now through our public education office to go out to these hotspots, try and educate the faith-based organizations who are conducting rituals about the safety now that we are in this rainy summer season.
All right, let's leave it there. Robert, we know that we can always call you and check in with you if there's anything we need to speak about. And just again, heeding warnings, please, everybody living in these areas, that these level four warnings have been put out there, but we will bring you a more comprehensive weather report and we'll tell you exactly where those warnings are situated. And that's with Joel Guy a bit later. Robert, thank you and good luck. Thank you very, very much. City of Johannesburg's Emergency Management Services.
We are going to stay with stormy weather this Tuesday across eastern South Africa, but the storms are going to be slightly less intense compared to what we've been seeing from the weekend into the first day of the week. We will be looking at that shortly, but first a look at how the morning is looking like in terms of morning temperatures. It is rather nippy around the interior of the Eastern Cape and also over the Highveld areas in Mpumalanga, Emelo, starting at around 7 degrees, but much warmer we got towards Mbombela, Phalaborwa, and also around Msina and Lephalale with minimums in the upper teens and lower 20s. Similar minimums for Richards Bay, a bit cooler along the rest of the east coast. Cape Town, not too cold at 18 this morning. The same for Calvinia, Frendedal, and 19 for Upington. Mahikeng is starting at around 16 degrees. Now it's going to stay sunny and warm to hot for the western parts of the country, cooler for the eastern sections, where we will continue to see partly cloudy to cloudy skies, giving us once again between a 30 and 60% chance of rain and thundershowers across the eastern half of the country. The winds are still going to be light to moderate for most areas, rather fresh, however, for the northern parts of the Northern Cape and along the southwest coastline. Now we have a warning for high fire danger conditions still persisting for the West Coast District in the Western Cape and also the western parts of the Northern Cape. It is going to be very hot for this parts of the country with uncomfortably hot temperatures. Then over the eastern sections, between a level 2 and level 4 warning for severe thunderstorms is in place over where you see that shade of yellow, and that includes Gauteng and surrounding areas. We could still have flooding problems, a lot of hail and damaging winds in some places. So be careful if you're in those parts of the country. Gauteng is going to look more like this with cooler temperatures compared to what we saw yesterday. Johannesburg, Vereeniging, Springs and Carletonville all peaking at just around 20 degrees. Temperatures have also slid down across much of the Limpopo province, mostly in the mid to lower 20s, but warmer for the western and northern areas. Musina, 28, the same for Tawazimbi. It is also going to be cool to mild across Mpumalanga, but warm for Skukuza with a high of 26 degrees. KwaZulu-Natal should see a slight warming, especially along the coastal areas. Richards Bay peaking at 25, 24 for the maximum in Durban. We are going to see more of sunshine than cloud for the bulk of the Eastern Cape. Temperatures pushing into the upper lower 30s for Kwanajoli and Graaffreinet, as well as Willowmo, and it is going to be mild along the coastal areas. Mild as well for the Western Cape coast, except for the southwest coastline. Cape Town is sizzling 37, even hotter for Clan William and Frendedal with highs in the lower 40s. It is also going to be hot for much of the Northern Cape, Upington and Springbok, 35 degrees. Cooler for the eastern areas. The Free State is also going to see fairly wet weather, temperatures in the mid to upper 20s this afternoon. Similar weather and temperatures can be expected across the northwest, but it will be hot for the western areas. The weather gets drier as we get into Wednesday with just isolated showers for much of the country. That's all from me for now.
Let's pause here now. We'll be back shortly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudini dayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile komberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And at this point, we'll tell you what's happening in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. Now, $1 today is equals to 17 Namibian dollars and 18 cents. €1 is equals to 19 Namibian dollars and 88 cents. £1 sterling is equals to 22 Namibian dollars and 60 cents. £1 Swiss franc is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 30 cents. While $1 Australian dollar is equals to 11 Namibian dollars and 15 cents. And £1 Botswana pula is equals to 1 Namibian dollar and 21 cents. Now heading over to trading economics. The dollar index hovered around 99.8 on Wednesday as traders continued to assess the Federal Reserve moves for the next month. Expectations for another 25 basis point rate cut have increased, now standing above 80%, supported by soft U.S. economic data and dovish remarks from Fed officials. Sentiments was further lifted by Bloomberg reports indicating that White House National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett is the leading contender for the next Fed chair, a choice investors see as aligned with President Trump's preference for lower rates. Now, the greenback strengthened against the yen, despite reports that the Bank of Japan is preparing markets for a possible rate hike as early as next month. However, it slipped against the Swiss franc and the Australian dollar. The offshore yuan appreciated past 7.07 per dollar, reaching a fresh 13th month high, supported by firm officials' guidance and increased year-end corporate demands. The People's Bank of China set the daily midpoint at 7.0796 per dollar, its strongest level since mid-October 2024, underscoring the central bank's commitment to maintaining currency stability. Moreover, the seasonal year-end demand from firms provided additional support as companies typically convert more of their dollar receipts to meet administrative obligations and cover payroll expenses. Externally, the yuan also benefited from a softening U.S. dollar as markets heightened expectations of a Federal Reserve rate cut in December. Meanwhile, investors are looking ahead to the upcoming Politburo meeting and the Central Economic War Conference in December for possible insights into next year's economic strategy and policy direction. Poland's unemployment rate stood at 5.6% in October 2025, unchanged from the previous month and in line with market expectations. The number of registered unemployed persons rose 1,200 from a month earlier to 867,300. And that's what we had for you today in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. So let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with news beyond the borders. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa Tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Nothing is beyond the borders of Namibia. Uganda is set to begin crude production in 2026.
Drilling at Uganda's oil production wells in the Albertine region is at peak level. All the 19 wells required for the first oil at the China Kingfisher oil field have been fully drilled. The Tilenga field, managed by France Total Energies, has drilled 164 wells out of 170. Uganda's national oil company says they are on track for its first production by mid next year.
The expectation is that when production starts, they will not have drilled all the wells. So even when first oil occurs, there will be some wells that will be drilled after that, which will back up these other wells that they have drilled first. So it's not abnormal that the investment will continue into 2027. And as you can trust, some of the conclusions of the infrastructure will be done after first oil.
The crude oil will be pumped through a 1,000-kilometer heated pipeline from the Albertine region west of the country to Tanzania's Tanga port. Close to 1,000 kilometers of pipeline have been welded, while another 200 kilometers has been tested and fitted in the ground, marking 74% of completion. Uganda has faced a backlash from activists on its crude oil pipeline over environmental concerns.
These waste management facilities that have been built, put in the Albertine Graben, are really state of the art at an international scale. These facilities include thermal desorption units, which are not common parts of the waste management systems. These facilities have been purposely designed and constructed to manage the waste generated from petroleum activities. So you will not hear of incidents of waste pollution from waste from the oil and gas activities in the country.
Uganda's Albertine oil region is estimated to hold more than 1 billion barrels of oil and gas, a resource that will benefit the country for decades.
The projects are still commercially viable. I've told you that we are expanding on the exploration. I've told you that the midstream infrastructure will be utilized even after 25 years. We are making new discoveries. We are making more exploration to make sure that the refinery stays and the crude oil pipeline stay.
Uganda's finance ministry estimates the country could earn up to $2.5 billion annually once production hits peak level.
Uganda is edging towards becoming an oil-producing country, signaling a significant step towards increased economic development and export revenues. Isabel Nakiria, CGTN, Kampala, Uganda.
Meanwhile, young innovators create solutions to frequent power cuts in Ghana.
Across many farms in Ghana, post-harvest losses, particularly of perishable vegetables like tomatoes, is very common. The situation is not only threatening food security, but also farmers' livelihoods. To contribute to addressing the problem, social entrepreneur Matthias Charles Yabe has designed a solar-powered cold storage system to help preserve fruits and vegetables on the farm.
We developed a modular solar-powered cold room in Akumadan. That was the first pilot community. This cold room was serving as a central aggregation point for the farmers to bring their produce there, store it, and then, you know, look for buyers at sell crops at competitive prices.
Yabe's company, Aquafresh, established 4 years ago, works with smallholder farmers who often lose nearly half their harvest before they even reach the market. The technology extends the shelf life of perishable produce by up to 21 days, and it has helped more than 3,000 smallholder farmers to improve their income.
I lost a lot of money in the past during bumper harvest because I didn't have any storage system. Now with the solar-powered cold storage, things are better and I get to preserve the vegetables before selling to consumers.
Ghana loses nearly $2 billion to post-harvest losses every year. The solar-powered cold storage system is a crucial intervention at a time when Ghana faces a long-running energy crisis. In addition to this system, Yabe has also developed a solar-powered cold storage tricycle.
We realized that in as much as we had built a modular stationary cold storage unit for the farmers, there was a need for us to actually help them get access to market. That was what really brought about us thinking about the cold chain in transit, where we now engineered a solar-powered cold storage refrigerated tricycle.
The tricycle is helping farmers keep their produce under environmentally controlled temperatures while in transit from the farm to the market.
It takes about 7 hours to get this solar-powered cold system fully charged. And once it hits the road, it can preserve farm produce for up to 5 to 6 hours.
Analysts say the gap between electricity demand and supply has opened opportunities for innovators in Ghana. But there is a need for more government support and investments for startups turning to renewable energy to provide solutions within the agri sector.
As a country, we are yet to appreciate what we have to do when it comes to the cold chain investment. But on the energy cost, government, we have the Energy Commission, they've been working, doing some work on the solar systems, but we are yet to incorporate that into our domestic or commercial activity.
Yabe agrees. He believes with more funding, he will be able to expand his solar-powered cold storage systems across the country and help drive down post-harvest losses one farming community at a time. Nabil Ahmed Rufai, CGTN, Accra, Ghana.
Europe is looking to Africa for stronger economic partnerships.
Leaders are taking stock of their economic partnerships amid global tensions, and Africa is emerging as a strong contender. CGTN's Julie Shire reports.
European leaders jetted off to the Angolan capital, Luanda, following the conclusion of South Africa's first G20 summit in Johannesburg. They're in Luanda for the EU-Africa Business Summit and to build on a 25-year partnership with the continent. But the meeting has been overshadowed by emergency talks as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky met with the United States Secretary of State and the German Foreign Minister in Geneva.
The United States and Ukraine informed us that the discussions were constructive and that progress was achieved on several issues. We welcome the step forward, and some issues remain to be resolved, but the direction is positive.
The leaders are concerned that the U.S. plan to end the 3-year war against Russia-Ukraine heavily favors Moscow.
Ukraine's territory and sovereignty must be respected. Only Ukraine, as a sovereign country, can make decisions regarding its armed forces. The choice of their destiny is in their own hands.
Leaders eventually got down to business in Luanda on what Africa needs. Following trilateral meetings in Johannesburg, the EU committed fresh funds for the mining and beneficiation of South Africa's critical minerals. 15.5 billion euros was also pledged on the sidelines of the G20 for the continent's green energy transition, building on a growing partnership.
One-third of Africa's total trade is with Europe, and we are Africa's largest investor with 240 billion euros in 2023 alone. The African Development Bank says that a true single market here could increase continental income by $450 billion in total. That means massive opportunities for Africa and for the world.
Angolan President João Lourenço, this year's chair of the African Union, says the two regions have more to gain than to lose by walking together.
Europe has know-how and technology. Africa has the essential raw materials for global industries. It has arable land, not yet saturated or contaminated by excess fertilizers and pesticides. It has abundant water resources for irrigation and clean energy production. It has vast land suitable for renewable energy generation, and it has abundant young labor.
And with that, we have come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. We now make way for the elections analysis, brought to you by yours truly, David Shombe, Franz Senegala, alongside with their guest, Dominga Ndala. To stay tuned as Eagle FM, and join us today for elections analysis as Eagle FM coverage covers elections from around the country. With that being said, from Indafa, Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place.